The Gemara in Daf Lamed Hey Amud Beis quotes the famous memoir of Shmuel that Shemen Zayis Mevarchin Al Havori Pri Ha'etz. You make a Ha'etz on Shemen Zayis. The question is, what is this talking about? It says the Gemara, if you're just drinking it by itself, why should you make a Ha'etz on Shemen? Yamazik. So this is Machlokas HaRishonim, as we discussed, what bracha should you make? Should you make any bracha? Most Rishonim assume that you shouldn't make any bracha on the Shemen Zayis if you drink it by itself. The Rambam says, albeit you're not going to make ha'etz, but you'll make a shahako. You're not going to make the bracha ruia, but you'll make a shahako. But clearly, that's not what Shmuel was talking about. So what was Shmuel talking about when he said that you make ha'etz on Shemen? So the Gemara says, el de ka'ochilei al yidei pas. It must be that you're eating it with the pas, that the Shemen is like some kind of a spread that you're putting on the bread. So the Gemara asks, yihachi havi le pas zikr v'hu tofer l'fnan ze'akla kosher ikav imot tfeila m'varech al ikav poter sat tfeila. We know the age-old cloud that ikav v'tofel, you only make a bracha on the ikav, not the tofel. So if the shemen is just a spread on the pas is the ikav, the shemen is the tofel. So why should you make a bracha on the shemen at all? You make a hamotzi on the pas, the sulo midi, and that's it. So it says the Gemara, elo de kashasi lei al yidei anigro. It must be that you're drinking the shemen or eating the shemen, the tarovis, in a mixture with anigro, with beet juice, with borscht. The Amar Rabba Bar Shmuel, anigro and maya basilka, and Sigron Maya the Kulu Shalki. These are different drinks of vegetables. So when did Shmuel say that you make ha'etz on the shemen? That's when you eat it with tarobis with the anigron. So the Gemara asks, Im kein avali anigron ikr v'shemen tafel, the same question that we asked for pas. Utnan zin akla kol shirik avim atfeila v'varech ala ikr podre sa tfeila. Says the Gemara, hacha b'maya skinon v'chol shesh b'gron lo. Yitaka talking about, Shmuel is referring to a case where you're drinking the shemen as part of the tarobis with the anigron. But the special case over here, the reason why the shemen is the ikar is because it's choshish migron, and the person has a sore throat, so he's eating it with shem refuah, he's eating it for medicinal purposes. And in such a case, then the shemen is the ikar. Titania, choshish migrono, lo yareno b'shemen b'tchila b'shabes, avalnosin shemen harbe l'tocha nigron uboleah. This brisa simply shows you that when a person is choshish migrono, it's normal to put the shemen into the tarobis and to eat it. What exactly are you not allowed to do on Shabbos? So Rashi and Tosis talk about the details over here. Rashi says that you're not supposed to gargle, you shouldn't leave the shemen or leave the anigron in your throat for a certain amount of time so that the shemen will be able to lubricate the throat, make it better. Tosis says even if you don't leave it in your throat for any extended period of time, even if you just swallow it, but if you swallow it, you take the anigron with the shemen with the express purpose of taking it lirfuah, that's a problem on Shabbos, and you're not allowed to take lirfuah on Shabbos. But from this brisa, you see that it's normal to mix shemen together with tanigron with some other substance, l'shem refuah. So for the same reason, just like you're not allowed to do that on Shabbos, if you mix the shemen with the anigron, l'shem refuah, you'd be chayav to make a ha'etz on the shemen because in such a case, the shemen would be the ikar. So the Gemara asks, if this is the case that we're talking about, this is what Shmuel was referring to, pshita. So the other pasha that you should have to make ha'etz on the shemen in that case. The shemen's the ikar. Of course you have to make ha'etz. Says the Gemara, Mahu the Taima, Kevin the Lerfu, Kamachavin, Lo Liver Chale Klau, Kamash Malon, Kevin the Islehan, Nomine, Boy Buche. I think, what's your Kavana here? Your Kavana is not to eat the Shemen. Your Kavana is to take it Lerfu. You want it for its medicinal purpose. So I would think, since you don't have a Kavana Sachila, your purpose is not to take it L'Shem Machila, but rather to take it L'Shem Lerfu. So I think there's no Chi of Brach at all. Even though the shemen is the ikar, I think there's no chiyuv bracha because your kavana is a kavanas refuah. You don't have a kavana l'shem achila. Kamash malon, since you're getting hanoa from it, is a chiyuv bracha. This is the conclusion of the Gemara. Shmuel, who said that you make a bari pri ha'etz on shemen, is referring to a case where you eat the shemen b'taroves with a mixture of anigron and shemen. You're drinking it l'shem refuah, and the chiddush is that even though the shemen is ikar, since you're choshish b'grono, the shemen is the ikar. The chiddush is you make ha'etz, even though your kavan is not the shem achila, the kavan is really primarily the shem refuah. From the, yes?
So the Gemara says no matter what, the shem is the ikar, even
what do you mean?
So
no matter what? Yeah, if you're choshish
migrano.
If
the shemen is the ikar, so on that case, you don't make more bread, that you're not choshish migrano. So, and the shem is the ikar, then you also.
Good. So from the simple reading of the Gemara, the impression you get is that you make ha'etz on the shemen, on the tarovis of anigron l'shemen, only if you're choshish migrono. That's what it sounds like from the Gemara. If the Gemara meant to say that in certain other circumstances, which we'll discuss in a moment, one can still make a ha'etz on this tarobes, so why does the Gemara say the choshesh begrona? Hachav ma'asin and the choshesh begrona? It sounds like it's only because he's choshesh begrona that he's going to make ha'etz on the shem. This is in fact what the Bahag writes. The Torah quotes the Bahag, who says that this Gemara is dafka. The choshesh begrona, when do you make ha'etz on the mixture of anigron and shemen? Only if you're choshesh begrona. This is on page 4 of the handout. Aval b'halachos gedolos kasav she'ela levarach ela I kaibin lechinche. If you have a pain in your throat, the mechavin refuah mishani minei. Aval ileka refuah afilu nosen shemen har behavi anigron iker ve'enem levarach ela shemen. You see, the Bahag introduces the other element that we would have expected. The Bahag says that the only time that you make a ha'etz on this tarobes is if you're choshesh begrona, if you're drinking it lerfuah. But if not, you will not make a ha'etz on the tarobes, even if what? The Shem is the rove. Why does the Bahag say the Shem is the rove? Because there's an age-old principle that the Achronim write, that the Magen Avraham made famous, some of the Rishonim say it as well, that what is the classical way to define what is Iker and what is Tofel in a tarobes? How do I know? So if one item serves the other item, as in the case, the classical case in the Gemara later on, the Mishnah later on, that you're eating salty fish, and you need bread in order to take away the saltiness of the fish, so even though the bread is a hamotzi, it's a more chashuv of food, but in that case you would not make a hamotzi on the bread, you make a shahakal on the fish, because you're really eating the fish. You only need the bread to take away the salty nature of the fish. So there, the ikar v'tafel is defined not by rov, not by nif, but rather by what is serving what. Since the bread is simply serving the fish, even if you're eating a lot of bread, it doesn't matter. It's still tafel to the fish. So in that case, it's clear the fish is the ikar. But let's say neither substance is serving the other. Neither food item is serving the other. How do I determine what is ikar and what is tafel? So the classical way to determine this is based on rov and nif, which is the majority, which is the minority of the mixture. This is what the Magen Avraham writes. Magen Avraham in Siman Reish Beis, the Siman that talks about ikar and tafel, on page 1, Magen Avraham says on the Shulchan Aruch, Kol shu ikar v'imot feila, mevarech al ikar v'kotar sakfeila. How do I know what the ikar is? The Magen Avraham says, Kol shu harov hu haikar. The majority is always defined as the ikar. K'moshe kosav simen reish ches sif zayin. As the Shulchan Aruch himself writes in simen reish ches sif zayin. What did the Shulchan Aruch say there? Shulchan Aruch is talking about the bracha on rice. Shulchan Aruch says, "Atosis es ha'orez mevarech ala barit pri adama ve'achara bar nefashos dimbishlo o shetachano ve'osam imenu pas mevarech ala barit min yirizonos ve'achara bar nefashos." We'll get to the bracha on rice a little bit later in the year, Mitzvah Hashem. Says the Shulchan Aruch, "Ushelo yehi me'urav in davar achen." It has to be pure rice, not that it's mixed up with something else. Ela orez levada. Then irav imenu v'tavshel achen. But if you mix up the rice with something else, it's a tarobes. V'hatavshel ha'acher hu harov mevarech alav kebirchas also tavshel. Notice the Shulchan Aruch says that if the other tavshel is the rov, it's the majority. So then you're going to make the bracha of that item because that's the ikar. Why should I say the orez is tafel? It's also an important part of the mixture. The answer is that the orez is only the minority if it's the meal of the mixture. By definition, it's good as the tafel. The rove is always defined as the ikar. This is the raya that the Magen Avraham quotes, that rove defines the ikar. So the Bahag is telling us that apparently, in a mixture of shemen, it's different. In a mixture of shemen, the Gemara is telling us, dafka if choshesh begrono will you make ha'etz on this mixture. But if it's anal koshin begrono, even if the shemen is the rove, it's not defined as the ikar. It's not defined as the ikar. So you'll make a shahako, you'll make whatever bracha you'll make on the borscht, on the other element. But you will not make ha'etz because the shemen is not defined as the ikar unless you're koshin begrono. This seems to be the simple chat in the Gemara. The Gemara goes off on a limb to tell us that the only time that you make ha'etz on the taroves, on the shemen, Shmuel Salacha is referring to koshin begrono. Why did the Gemara have to say that? The Gemara could have just said, "Hachav ma'askinan that you put rov shemen in. If you put rov shemen in, so you should make ha'etz on the tarobes." The fact that the Gemara did not say that seems to indicate that dafka, if what? Dafka if choshesh begrona, would you make ha'etz on this mixture? But if ain't no choshesh begrona, Moshe, you would not make a ha'etz on this mixture. The shemen is not defined as the ikar. Yes?
Why
the first opinion that you quoted, that the ikar is actually what serves what. So that means that the both of them serve each other. So you make a bracha?
No, both of them serve each other, so then I can't define ikar v'tafel based on what is serving what, because they're both serving each other. I'm not sure I understand what the case could be. If you give me a case that both are serving, normally, you know, if you have blintzes and sour cream, or, you know, so or cereal and milk, so the milk is serving the cereal, the sour cream is serving the blintzes. Normally, when you have one item serving the other, it's very rare that you have the other item serving the second item as well.
Well, you have to like chocolate and the peanuts.
So then neither item is serving the other, so both are dependent.
We'll talk
about that later. According to many versions, you would have to make a bracha on both, because neither one is serving the other, and neither one is a rose. So it could be that you might have to make both brahmas. We'll see. We'll talk about that as the year goes on. Yes?
What about the problem that it's not derech hafila because you're eating it for a fool?
Not derech hafila because you're eating it for a fool. That's not really true. It is derech hafila. It's normal for people to put shemen in the anigro if they're eating it for a fool. Is it? Okay.
It's not for a fool, not a fool, not eating it.
Well, that's the whole finish of the
response.
The chiddush of the Gemara is that even though you only have a kavanas refuah, you don't have a kavanas achila, since you're getting hamna, you will make a bracha on the shemen. That's the whole chiddush of the Gemara.
Did you make a shot refuah?
No, you make ha'etz. Because you're getting hamna from shemen. If you eat the shemen by itself, so then it's mazik you, so you're not going to make a bracha on it. You're not going to make ha'etz.
Right.
But if you're eating it, even though your kavanas is the shem refuah, because you are... Because the shemen is the ikar in this tarogus, you will make ha'etz on the tarogus. That's the whole chiddush of the Gemara. But you don't need a kavanas achila. I'm going to get to that later. That's a very important chiddush of the Gemara. Maybe some of the Rishonim are going to disagree with that. That's a very important point.
So is refuah derech achila or not?
Refuah could be derech achila. Derech achila it might be, but you don't have kavanas achila. In other words, you're not eating it in an abnormal fashion. This is very normal to eat the shemen in this way. But even though it's derech achila, you might not have kavanas achila.
So is it
derech
hafila?
I think so, yeah.
Okay.
Eating the shemen by itself, it might not be derech hafila. But eating the shemen with a tarovis in a mixture is derech hafila. But there's no kavanas hafila.
So eating
a refuah
is derech hafila. If you're drinking a refuah, it's derech hafila.
No. Shemen is a food item. Shemen is a maifa. We're going to have to talk about that. I didn't look at the mark. No, I didn't understand that you were talking about eating a medicine. This is not a medicine. This is a food item. But it's being used for a medicine. As
it is a medicine.
No, it's food.
In this situation, we're eating a medicine. Right?
We're eating shemen as a medicine, but
someone
it was a food.
Isn't there, what about
someone
the
who lost the medicine is not going to think that he bought it for tomorrow.
Just 1 second.
That doesn't matter.
What's the problem?
I don't understand, because if you're eating it for a medicine, then it's a medicine. If you're eating the medicine, we shouldn't be making it. It's not there for people.
No, it's there for people because... This is the way that someone would eat it. You're not eating it in an abnormal fashion, but you don't have kavanas achila. I think there's a big difference between the two. I think there's a big difference between derech achila as opposed to kavanas achila. We'll talk about this a little bit more as we go.
Can you use for both? I mean, you can
do that. Do you have a kavanas achila over here? The shemen is in the mixture, and you're eating it l'shem refuah. There's a kavanas achila? I don't think so.
Can
you have both? You could. Technically, you could. But over here, the stomach, you're not having a kavanas achila. Most people don't drink shemen.
But
it is normal, if you want the refuah benefit of the shemen, it is normal to mix it into the liquid, into the anigro, to eat it. Okay? So it is normal to do that. Derech achila is simply a question of whether you're eating something in a normal fashion. Are you imbibing it? Are you oleach in a normal fashion? Eino derech achila means it's not normal to eat it in that way. It's not normal to ingest it in that way. Okay? Eating shemen plain, I think, is la derech achila. Karcho basiv, wrapping a food in something, is la derech achila. But drinking the shemen as part of a nigron, the shem refuah, that is derech achila. That's the way people eat it. You might not have a kavanas achila. Okay, fine. But it's derech achila because you're ingesting it in a normal fashion. You might not have kavanas achila, but it would be derech achila.
It shouldn't be like any other medicine. Like, that's called derech achila.
Okay, that's right. We're gonna talk about medicines tomorrow. Okay, we'll talk about the details of medicines later. We'll get to it. Let's first try to understand the Gemara. So from the simple reading of the Gemara, you get the impression that the only time that you make ha'etz on this mixture is if it's choshish b'grama. This is a fact of the Ba'atzis. The Torah quotes the Rimagash, Rabbeinu Yosef. That's the Rimagash, not Rav Yosef Karo. Rabbeinu Yosef is the Rim Magash, the Yosef Ibn Magash, who explains differently. The Rim Magash says that Choshesh Begrono lav dafka. Choshesh Begrono is not to be taken seriously. The Rim Magash says, Urcha de Milsa Nakab, Vahu Adin Nami, Im Eino Choshesh Begrono, Im Nosin Shemen Haibin Otoch Hanigam, Mavarech Alav Sharein Enemy Menu. You make her eights on this Karobes, even if you're not Choshesh Begrono, as long as you put a lot of Shemen in. The Rim Magash says that you don't have to be Choshesh Begrono in order to make ha'etz on this Karobes. Even if you're not Choshesh Begrono, you'll still make ha'etz if you put a lot of Shemen in. So what's the $64,000 question? Why does the Gemara say Choshesh Begrono? It should say Hachav Mayaskinan that he put Rov Shemen in. This question troubled the Bach. The Bach, in explaining the position of the Rim Magash, was troubled. He says the Rim Magash is against the Gemara. So the Bach explains what the Rim Magash understood in the Gemara is that the Gemara wants to tell us an extra chiddush. What chiddush is the Gemara telling us? That even if you don't put Rov Shemen, you'll still make ha'etz on this mixture because you're Choshesh Begrono. In Achanami, if you put Rov Shemen, then you'll make ha'etz even if you're not Choshesh Begrono. But if you are Choshesh Begrono, then you'll make ha'etz on this mixture even if you don't put Rov Shemen in, even if it's only Miyuchim. There are two chidushim that are coming out of the year. The Rim Magash, first of all, holds that if you put Rov Shemen avada, you're going to make ha'etz on this mixture. The chidush of the Gemara is that even if you don't put Rov Shemen, you only put Miyuchim, you'll still make ha'etz, as long as what? As long as Choshesh Begrono. And that's what the Gemara comes to tell us. Just one second. Normally, even if a person takes the shemen lerefua, he only puts miut shemen in the mixture. Hasam hu dan nigran iker umavarech shahako. Avol benosen shemen harbe yoser meharegilos. Havel shemen iker bekevin shenenem imeno dena mazigo kevin sheshoseyu. Ayidei nigran mevarech alav bari pri ha'eitz. So according to the Bach, what comes out is that the Bahag holds the only time that you make ha'eitz in this mixture is what? If Choshesh Begrono. Meaning, in order to determine whether the Shemen is the Iker or not, it's all a function of whether Choshesh Begrono. It's all a function of the Kavana of the individual. If the individual is drinking it L'Shem Refua, if that's his Kavana, so then the Shemen is the Iker and he'll make Ha'etz on this mixture. But if it's he's not Choshesh Begrono, he's not eating it L'Refua, so then he will not make Ha'etz, even if the Shemen is the Rov. According to the Bahag, it's all a function of the das of the person, like the Pashup Chad in the Gemara. According to the Rim Magash, as the Bach understands him, it's dependent on one of two things. There are two possibilities. If you have Rov Shemen, so then you'll make Ha'etz even if you're not Choshesh Begrono. The Gemara is telling us that even if you don't have Rov Shemen, you'll still make a Ha'etz if you are Choshesh Begrono. So according to the Rim Magash, according to the Bach's understanding of the Rim Magash, the bracha is a function of one of two things. There are two possibilities. You can make ha'etz on this mixture, either if you're Choshesh Begrono, either if you have kavana as refua, or if you have Rov Shemen. Yes?
But the Bahag doesn't hold the Rov Shemen part.
Right. So the question is why? Why does the Bahag not hold the Rov Shemen? If normally we define Iker v'Tefel based on Rov and Mir, why does the Bahag not hold the Rov Shemen? He says ha'etz is recited on this mixture only what? Only if you have kavanah sefer. What's the difference between this and every other mixture? The answer might be that maybe it's not normal to add Rov Shemen even if you're drinking the Shemen lerfuah. That's what the Bach after all says. The normal amount of Shemen that you add to the mixture, even if you're drinking the Shemen lerfuah, is a miyud of the mixture. It's still not normal to put the Rov Shemen in. So maybe he feels, maybe the Bahag feels, that since it's not normal to put Rov Shemen in, Rov Shemen is not going to change what is Iker, what is Tafel. It's solely a function of whether you have Kavanas Refuah or not. The percentages of the ingredients in the mixture are not going to change what is Iker, what is Tafel. Why? Because it's not really normal to put the Rov in. So even if you put the Rov in, it still is not going to be Iker. It's the Kavanas Refuah that changes the Shemen and makes it Iker. The Bahag says, I know the Magen Avraham, the Bahag came before. But the Bahag says, I know the principle that when it comes to Iker v'Tofel, the robe defines what is Iker. But he says, in the case of a Karovus of Shemen, the old principles that apply to Iker and Tachon in general can't apply. There has to be a different principle over here. Why? Because it's not normal to put Rosh Hashanah. So because it's not normal to put Rosh Hashanah, the only way to define Shemin as the Iker is what? If you're Choshesh B'Drama. If you take it for a Fua, so then it's going to be Iker.
Yes. In general, does the Bach hold that we do the Acharot? Just in this case, we don't?
You mean the Gash, the way the Bach explains it, you would say that it depends. If you talk and have Rov, we would go after Rov. Why not? Just like in regular Iker V'Tachal, we go after Rov, why should we go after Rov by Iker V'Tachal of Shemin? But he will say, as well, that if you have Kavanah Serfua, even if you don't have Rov Shemin, you'll still make Ka'ech, because the Kavanah Serfua can also define the Shemin as well. That's the Yisod of the Rima Gash according to the Bach.
According to the Bach.
The Rima Gash according to the Bach, right.
And then the Bach according to the Bach.
Yes.
Holds that really in general we go Acharov. But here we can't go Acharov because
it's not normal to have Rov Shemin. That's what I'm suggesting. Yeah.
So the Goro remains the
Choshesh B'Grono will tell me that even though I don't have Rov Shemin here, it still is the Iker, because I'm really drinking this Tarovas primarily for the Shemin. So that's defined as the Iker, so you'll make Ka'etz on it because it's the Iker.
So according to the Bahag, if you had intention to drink this mixture for the taste of the oil, still Iker?
If you're not Choshesh B'Grono?
Not Choshesh B'Grono,
and you have in mind to drink it for the oil. Okay, then you're an abnormal human being. Bakladaito, exactly. So you would make a shahak on this, because it doesn't make much sense. The Bahag says the only time that the Shemin can be defined as the Iker is if you're Choshesh B'Grono. In no other time, first of all, in your case, you'd have to say that the Shemin is the Rov, because if the Shemin is not the Rov, it's going to be the
Kavanah.
Why would a person do that? It's so abnormal. What? He likes this oil. Bakladaito, Eitzel Kalada. That's a strange individual. He's not going to make Ka'etz on that kind of thing. Okay? Yeah, thank you.
It's an equally reasonable argument that the fact that it's not normal to put in Rosh Shemin, and he is putting in Rosh Shemin, shows that that's clearly the Ikar.
You're talking about that he is Choshesh B'Grono, he's not Choshesh B'Grono, what's the case?
Even if he's not Choshesh B'Grono, it should show that it is the Ikar, even if it's not.
But if he's doing something that's very strange, so it can't be defined as the Iker. It might be Rov Shemin, but if it's a very bizarre thing that he's doing, we'll say Batul Daito. We don't take his Das significantly. And even if you'll tell me this is not a Das issue, this is just a percentage issue, which is the Rov, but if this mixture is a strange mixture, so even though it's the Rov, no one would be eating it for that Rov. The reason why Rov defines what the Iker is because if you're eating any mixture that has Rov of some item, so we assume that most of your Das is on that item. If you're eating a mixture of, let's say, strawberries and oranges. So if you have most of it is strawberries and there are a few oranges, so what is most of your das on? It's on the Iker, it's on the Rove. So yes, I'm interested in eating the oranges too, but most of your das is on the strawberries, so you make a bracha on the strawberries and that's it. Okay? This is the way that the Bach understood the position of the Rima Gash. Yeah.
There was something that bothered me in the way that the Bach understood the Rima Gash, because the Rima Gash doesn't specifically say that you should, doesn't specifically specify which bracha you should make. All that he does.
The Rima Gash is going on the Gemara.
But the Gemara doesn't specify which
bracha. Of course it does. The Gemara says you make ha'etz on the Shemin if you eat it with the anigrim.
No, only if it's close to the Gemara.
Exactly. But that's what the Rima Gash is.
But we're trying to figure out. What the Bach and the Rima Gash are trying to figure out is that if you're not Choshesh B'Grono and you're drinking something that's Rov Shemin with Anigrum, what do you do?
It should have the. So what the Rima Gash says is it has the same halacha as Choshesh B'Grono.
But it just says Mavarech Halach. It doesn't say Mavarech Halach.
Mavarech Halach means Mavarech Halach Shemin. Mavarech Halach means Mavarech Halach Shemin. What's the Brach on Shemin? Ha'etz. So of course you're going to make Mavarech Halach.
But that's also what the Gemara says. Here in Islahem Naz B'Nei Ba'i it doesn't say which bracha to make.
But that's what Shmuel is talking about. The Gemara is trying to explain Shmuel. So Shmuel says that you make a bari pri ha'etz on Shemin Zayas, and the Gemara establishes that to be talking about that you're eating it in the mixture of anigram, so obviously you're going to make ha'etz. That's what it means to be mevarech on the Shemin. The Taz has a different understanding of the Rima Gash. The Taz seems to say that the Rima Gash does not hold a double possibility here. According to the Rima Gash, claims the Taz, Choshesh Begrono is lav dafka entirely. Choshesh Begrono is lav dafka entirely. The Taz is apparently not bothered with the kasha of the Bach from the Gemara. Right, Avi? The Taz says that according to the Rimagash, it's solely a function of what? It's solely a function of quantity. If your shemen is rov, you're going to make ha'etz on it. If the shemen is not rov, you're not going to make ha'etz. It's irrelevant whether you're choshesh begrono or not. If you are choshesh begrono according to the Taz, the Rimagash would say that if you add rov shemen, you'll make ha'etz. If you don't add rov shemen, even if you are choshesh begrono, you're still not going to make ha'etz. Against the Bach's understanding of the Rimagash. So how does he then understand the Gemara? How can the Rimagash understand the Gemara according to the Taz? Why does the Gemara pick on choshesh begrono? According to the Bahag, we readily understand what choshesh begrono means. The Gemara said medavka choshesh begrono because according to the Bahag, the only time that you will make ha'etz on this is if you're choshesh begrono. You need the kavanas refuah. Rogue is irrelevant according to the Bahag. According to the Rimagash, lefi the way that the Bach understood him, the reason why the Gemara mentions choshesh begrono is because there is a hechid timtza, there is a case where even if you don't have rov shemen, you'll still make ha'etz. Right? Even if you have mir shemen, and that is if you're choshesh begrono. Right? So according to that, we understand why the Gemara picked on choshesh begrono, because there is a hechid timtza. It's not the only hechid timtza. It's not the only case, as the Bahag would want you to believe. The Bahag wants you to believe that only if you're choshesh begrono will you make ha'etz on this mixture. The Rimagash says, no, it doesn't have to be dafke choshesh begrono. If you have rov shemen, you'll also make ha'etz on the mixture. But the reason why the Gemara says choshesh begrono is to tell you a chiddush that even if you have only miyot of shemen, you'll still make ha'etz because it's choshesh begrono. But the way the Taz understands the Rimagash, that it's solely a function of what is rov and what is miyot, what's the minority, what's the majority. So why does the Gemara say choshesh begrono? Also, am I asking for choshesh begrono? It should be a function of whether you add rov shemen or not. The Gemara should have just said, "How come my Athena shall host it rov shemen?"
Yes, does it have to be a finish? Can we just say the Torah
and
the Milta
Naka? That's probably the answer.
Use that as a last resort.
The Lashon of the Rimagash that the Torah quotes is Choshesh Begrono Lav Naka, Elo Urcha de Milta Naka. So presumably that's what the Taz is going to say. The Maskana, the Taz will say that Choshesh Begrono simply is mentioned in the Gemara as a hechid timtza. That's the normal time that a person is going to add rov shemen. Interesting. The Bach seemed to say even if you're choshesh begrono, you wouldn't add rov shemen. Right? But according to the Taz's understanding of the Magash, you have to say that when you're choshesh begrono, you will add rov shemen. And who said this before the Rimagash? Who was the first person to say this? First person that you probably saw in the Gemara to say this?
Rashi.
This is Rashi's shot. Ultimately, I'm just trying to get back to Rashi. But we need all this background to really understand what the Rashi is saying. Rashi has a very cryptic comment on the sugya. He says, "Hachoshesh begrono, v'tzorich losis bo shemen harbe, dehavale shemen ikar v'anigron tofa." Rashi says that when someone is choshesh begrono, you have to put rov shemen in. Catch that, Rashi? You read it quickly, right? Why is Rashi v'tzorich losis bo shemen harbe? Forget about shemen harbe, even if you only have miyot shemen. The shemen is still ikar because you have kavanas refuah. The answer is no. Rashi had a Taz's understanding of the Rimagash that choshesh begrono was lav dafka. Choshesh begrono is just a hechid timtza to have rov shemen. So that's what Rashi says. If you're choshesh begrono, that's why tzarach losin rov shemen, and that's why you'll make ha'etz on this mixture, because if you have the rov shemen, it's an ikar, so you make a brach on the shemen. So even though this is definitely a difficult pshat in the Gemara, pashat pshat in the Gemara is that choshesh begrono is the reason why you make the brach on the shemen. Right? That was the pshat of the Bahag, and that's how the Rimagash was understood by the Bach. But according to the Taz, even the Rimagash didn't understand the Gemara that way. And it would appear that that seems to be the pshat in Rashi. The Rashi holds that choshesh begrono is not the reason why you make ha'etz on this mixture, but rather choshesh begrono is a hechid timtza that you'll add rov shemen. Once you add the rov shemen, then you make ha'etz on the mixture because you have a varich on the shemen since it's the ikar. Okay, these are the three different approaches to the sugya. We have the approach of the Bahag, who says that choshesh begrono is dafka, that you make ha'etz on the mixture only if you're choshesh begrono. If you're not choshev begrono, even if you add rov shemen, you're not going to make ha'etz. If you are choshev begrono, even if you only have miyot shemen, you'll still make a ha'etz. The Rima Gash, according to the Bach, is split. He says there are two ways to determine or to define shemen as the ikar. If shemen is the rov, then even if you're not choshev begrono, you will make ha'etz. If shemen is the miyot, then the only way to define shemen as the ikar is if choshev begrono. And that's what the Gemara is telling us. That even if shemen is the miyot, you'll still make ha'etz on the mixture, because if choshev begrono, if you have kavanas refuah, so then the shemen is the ikar. The Taz understands the position of the Rima Gash a little differently. He holds that the Rima Gash understood the Gemara to be saying that dafka, if you have rov shemen, will you make a ha'etz on this mixture? And it's irrelevant whether you're choshev begrono or not. It's totally a function of whether you have rov shemen or not. Choshev begrono was only a hechatimtza to have the rov shemen. So it turns out that according to the Taz's understanding of the Rima Gash, and this is what Rashi seems to say, if you have rov shemen, you'll make ha'etz even if you're not choshev begrono. And if you don't have rov shemen, you won't make ha'etz even if you are choshev begrono. But it's totally a function of quantity. Okay, these are the three approaches. Either the kavonas hagavra, machsheves hagavra is the koveya, that's the Baha'i, or Roven Miut, the quantity can determine what is Ikka, that's the Rima Gash point to the Baha'i, and the Rima Gash point to the Taz, and Rashi seem to say that only the quantity is Kovea, and the Kavana Sa'odam is not Kovea whatsoever. This is Pshat in the Sugya. Exactly when is Shem in the Ikka, when is it Tofel, is it similar to regular Ikka v'Tofel Halachos? Is somehow shemen different? This is a major machlokes rishonim. How to understand the pasuk out of the Gemara? Al, get something.
What exactly is the
distinction
between the Bach and the Taz?
The Bach said that the Rima Gash held there are two factors that can determine when the shemen is the ikar. Either shemen is rov, or if you're choshev begrono, either the quantity or the kavana sagavra. Taz understood that the Rima Gash held that there's only one factor that can determine that the shemen is the ikar. What's that, Eliezer? According to the Taz, only one factor, the quantity. If you have rov shemen, it's the ikar. If you don't have rov shemen, it's not the ikar. It doesn't matter whether you're choshev begrono or not. Choshev begrono is just a hefek tinsa. It's an example to have rov shemen. This is what Rashi seems to say on the sugya. Avi? Maskon of the Gemara says the following, and here we're going to get into Moshe. Well, we'll start today. I don't know if we're going to finish today, but we'll get into Moshe's question as to when do you make a bracha on refuah. Now, once we finish the details of the sugya. Now, as we talked about shemen, first you have to understand what the sugya is saying. What's the tshuva of the Gemara? What's the case of the Gemara? So we spent a lot of time on that just to understand what the pshat of the sugya is. But now let's go to the Maskon of the Gemara. What does the Gemara say? Shmuel holds that you make a bari priha eitz on shemen if you mix it with the tarogas. L'shem refuah. So the Gemara asks, Pshita, of course you're going to make ha'etz on this mixture because the shemen is the ikar. The Gemara says, no, it's not so partial. Ma'u d'tein l'kevin l'refuah kamachavin l'olivar chalei kwal kamashuon kevin l'isli ha'ma'amineh boi b'uchim. Your kavana is a kavana l'refuah. So I would think since your kavana is a kavana l'refuah, there's no chiyuv bracha because who instituted brachos on refuah as Moshe? Right? The Gemara didn't institute any chiyuv bracha on a refuah, only on achila. Kamash malon, kevin the isle hanoah mineh boi bruchen. Kamash malon, that you have to make a bracha on hanoah. Says Rashi, the isle hanoah mineh, levad harefuah. Since you have hanoah besides the refuah benefit, levad harefuah yesh lo hanoah sachila. You do have hanoah sachila. Kavona sachila you don't have. But hanoah sachila you do have. Says the Gemara, Hanoa Sachila is enough to be Mechayev Brocha even without Kavona Sachila. So Tosus fills you in. He starts the ball rolling talking about medicines. Heaven is le Hanoa Mine Boy Bukha, in the near and Hadvarim, Dim Adam Shosem Mashkim, in a Mashkim Roy and Lishtos. Let's say you drink something putrid, something that tastes really bad, but it's a refuah. Why else would you be drinking? It must be that you drink it for some kind of additional purpose. The less le hanoah mineh, there is no hanoah derived from this item, lo boi bruche, then there's no chiyuv bracha, because there is no hanoah, it tastes terrible. The e islay hanami ne below harfu aboy bruch. But if there is some kind of hana, then there's a chiyav to be mevar. What kind of hana is Tosfos talking about? I think he's referring to what we just mentioned, the taste quality. That's exactly what the kolbo says. The kolbo just fills you in a little bit. Kolbo's not introducing another shita, but that's the kolbo I asked you to see on page 6. The ha'ochel o hashos a dover l'refua v'lo l'ano klal. Notice, you're eating it l'refua, Moshe. L'kavonas refua, not l'shem ano. V'hu dover she'en omutam. It doesn't have a good taste. Ein mevarech alav klal. There's no bracha. Kevan d'leka hano l'gerono. Since there's no hano in the throat. Hano asmeo, there might be. You're drinking something. There could be nutritional benefit in the item. But the point is, if you don't have any hano in the taste, there's no chiyuv bracha. According to most of the farshim, there would be no chiyuv bracha. Maybe according to the Rambam, you make a shakal, but we know that most rishonim hold that if there's no hanoas garon, that's not defined as achila al pidin, as we explained on Thursday. If you don't have achila al pidin, hanoa without an achila al pidin is not machayev a bracha whatsoever. Not even shakal. Not the bracha ruya nor shakal. So here, what the kolbo is filling us in is that's probably what Tosus means. Also, it's mashkim royim. The mashkin tastes bad, so there's no hanoas garon. There's no benefit from the taste. So once there's no hanoas garon, there's no chiyuv bracha at all. Fits in beautifully with what we've been saying till now. The kolbo continues. He says, "What is this similar to?" The Moshe ainam avarech al amayim shishose lo latzame lo latzimaon. It should be if he drinks the water not because he is thirsty. Someone who drinks water only because he wants to push down the food, because something is stuck in his throat, he's not going to make a bracha on that either. Again, because he's not deriving any hana from the water. The water doesn't have any taste. You see, that fits in beautifully with what the kolbo is saying. If the key over here is to have hana as garon, so we can understand why the kolbo compares to chanakta umtsa. Because in that case, if you're drinking the water, there is no hana from the taste of water. The only hana you can get from water is that it quenches your thirst. So if he's not thirsty, he's only drinking the water in order to lower whatever blockage is in his throat, so then he's not deriving any hana as garon from the water. So therefore, there's no chiyuv bracha. Yes, Jeff.
I know this sounds a little weird, but I thought
yes.
The Tosfos says that the person you don't make a bracha unless you get something enjoyment. I mean, you don't make a bracha because you do something that you drink or eat something that harms you. Kolbo doesn't mention harming; he just mentioned it because you don't get enjoyment out of it.
So the Tosfos doesn't say that it's mazik. He just says it's mashkim roin the less lehanah mine. The less lehanah mine. The Kolbo also says less lehanah as grona. Kevel leka hanah the grona. Both of them seem to be saying that there's no hanah. There must be some reason why you're drinking this thing. That's why Tosus quotes it here. You must be talking about refuah. You're drinking the mashkin royim for some medicinal purpose.
So if it was mazik, would you still make a bracha?
Sorry?
Maybe if it was mazik, would you still make a bracha?
If it were mazik, would you make a bracha?
I mean, like, if it was mazik, but you get an hour from it. I mean,
what kind of an hour are you getting from it? Sorry? No, we said earlier that if you drink shemen by itself, that's mazikli. You might get hanoas meya, but since you don't get hanoas zara, most of shemen, so there is no chiyuv bracha. According to the Rambam, there might be a chiyuv shahakal if you get hanoas meya. But if there's no hanoas zara, most of shemen assume that there is no chiyuv bracha.
So,
yes?
Today, they have all these vitamin water and different flavor waters, even if you're not
there's flavor is different. Maybe. Flavoring is different. Flavoring
is different. That's the biggest cheat in the world.
So let's see that Mishnah that the Kolbo quotes. Chanak de Yomtsin, yeah? The Mishnah on that Pandal, it says, Ashosa Mayim with Zimo, Mavar Shakol Niabitvar. You're thirsty and you drink water to quench your thirst, you make a Shakol on it. The Bitarchan actually says that you make bar nefashos rabbos. It's strange. It sounds like you make a bar nefashos of the bracha Yishona. Not for that. Maybe get to that later. But the pashuk says you make a shahakol. Shosamayim mitzimo, you make a shahakol. Says the Gemara about shosamayim mitzimo. Lafuke mai. What's the other case that you're going to drink the water? Amar ravidi baravin lafuke leman the chanakte umtsa. Chanakte umtsa. If a piece of meat is stuck in your throat and you drink the water to lower the meat, you're not going to make a shakal because it's not latzimo. You're not doing it to quench your thirst. Says Tosfos, the Chanakta Yotza, V'dafka Mayim, Sheimo Anah. Says Tosfos, only if you're drinking the water to lower the Yotza, then you won't make a bracha. It's not mitzimo, you're only drinking the water to lower the blockage in your throat, so then you're not going to make shahakal on the water. Dafka Mayim, Sheimo Anah, Yim Lishtos, Mayim mitzimo. You are deriving benefits. It's not choking you anymore. There's certainly a benefit in that. But that's not a hanos achila. That's not a benefit of achila. So therefore, it doesn't require a bracha. It says Tosas, Abu Sharmash, but let's say you drink other liquid, not water. That the guf is always deriving benefit from those other liquids, not water. You do derive benefit from the other liquids. What kind of benefit?
Garlic.
It tastes good. Does water give nutritional benefit?
Yeah.
It does. Okay, so the difference between...
Let's assume it.
Okay, so the difference between... Certainly the way the Kobo one does it. The difference between water and other mushroom is whether there's Hanas Garlic.
Well, it gives nutritional benefit when you drink. I always thought that there's no...
There are minerals in the water, I guess.
Hydrated.
Okay, but I'm not sure if that would be correct.
And it keeps your cells moving. It keeps
right, because
it's
hydrated, but it doesn't provide them specific nutrient. So I
okay, but it does help a person live. It does help a person live without the water. Maybe that's called hanas meyo. But it certainly would not give you hanas garam.
Water.
Water gives you hanas garam. There's no taste in the water.
No.
You're saying it gives you hanas garam if what? If you have a parched throat. But that's what simo. That's because you're thirsty. A person with a parched throat, that's the thirst mechanism that the body has.
That's really part of the last month.
I don't know if that's why I would call that hanas meyo, but that would be a case where there would be hanas garam, let's say. If you feel parched in your throat, you feel thirsty. So that is hanas garam. But if you don't feel thirsty, then there is no hanas garam by drinking the water. But you're only drinking for some other purpose. Says Tosfos, if chanakta yomtza, you drink the water, there's no chiyuv make a bracha. But if you drink sham mashkim, there will be a chiyuv make a bracha. Shalom olam haguf nenem ahem. B'chol inyan mevarek afilu chanakta yomtza. If you drink apple juice, orange juice, or some other kind of liquid, even though the only reason why you're drinking these other juices is to lower the umtza that's stuck in your throat, you will make a bracha because you're nana from that other item. How does Tosfos know that? Where did he come off thinking of that? Isn't the whole purpose of your drinking of these juices because of chanakta umtza moshe? It's basically kavanas refuah. There's no kavanas shtiyah, there's no kavanas achiliyah, so why should you have to make a bracha, Avi? The answer is Tosfos says, look at our Gemara, kediyamina la'el. The afagad refuah asi boi bruche. Our Gemara sets forth a fundamental yisod. That even if a person is drinking something, he's ingesting something, the kavanas refuah alone, there's no kavanas achila, there's no kavanas shtiyah, there's a chiyuv bracha if there is hanah. Namely, if there is hanah's garam, if in addition to hanah's meyah there's hanah's garam, there's a chiyuv bracha, even if there's no kavanas achila, even if there's no kavanas shtiyah. So Tosfos is simply distinguishing between water as opposed to other liquids, by saying that if you drink other liquids, by definition, there's hanah. So if there is hanah, there is hanah's garam. It doesn't matter that there's no kavanas achila. Just like if you drink it l'shem refuah in our Gemara, if you're choshish b'grono, there's a chiyuv bracha even if there's no kavanas achila. So too, if you drink it because of chanak de'umsa, there's a chiyuv bracha even though you're really only drinking it l'shem refuah. And it's also l'shem refuah by chanak de'umsa. And this is how the Shulchan Aruch concepts. Yes.
I mean, so it's too close to saying that if you drink water when you have something stuck in your throat, you wouldn't make a problem.
Right.
If you drink orange juice, you probably would make a problem.
Not probably.
You will. But so the question is that it being that usually people have something stuck in their throat, they're choking. They don't care what they drink, they're not getting any hanah from that taste.
But they are.
I mean,
they will. They will get hanah from the taste. If the orange juice is sitting on the table and they happen to take that, they reach for the OJ first. The fact is, the orange is going to give you hanah in the throat. So even though that's not your kavana, that's exactly my point. If there's no chanak de'umsa, so if you reach for a glass of oranges, a glass of apple juice, so obviously you're reaching it because you want hanah of the drink.
Right.
But here, you don't want that in Ozzy. There's no kavanah tachila, no kavanah shtia. The finish of the since willy nilly, you will get hanah from that item. Is a chiyah bracha anyway. That's what the Gemara says. It's a tremendous chiddush. That if you have hanah zgaron and hanah smeya, even without a kavanah hanah, this is a chiyah bracha. This is what emerges from our sugya, and Tosfos uses our sugya to explain his chiddush between shamash and supposed to mayim in the case of tanakhim. Yes.
I don't think this is the case that the Gemara is literally talking about, but if you, is there any value to just sort of moving your lips to make the breath? Because if you're really choking, you're not going to be able to make any sound, you're not going to be able to say anything. So, like, is...
Right. It's that it's disturbing.
Yes.
It's disturbing you, but you have enough of an airway to make the breath. And this is in fact how the Shulchan Aruch passes. It shows the Mayim Mitzima Mavar Shakol Shakol Ulaachra Baran Parshas Rabos Avolim Chanakta Umtza V'Shasa Mayim Lahavir HaUmtza Ein Mavar Kol Lefana V'Lo La'Achra. If Chanakta Umtza V'Shasa Mayim, Shulchan Aruch is Medayim V'Shasa Mayim. Says the Mishnah Bura Tavka Mayim She'Ein Achech Mena Mehem Kiyim Kishin Shosa Mitzima. If he shows the letzimah, so then the palate, the throat is going to be nene. But if he's not shows the letzimah, the palate is not nene, so then he wouldn't make a bracha on the mayim. This is a very important halacha. The Mishnah Berurah in the Bir Halacha in the Bir Maskal Chanakte points out that this halacha, Chanakte Utsa, is not here to make a bracha on the water. It's not only if you have something stuck in your throat, you're choking. Even if a person eats and he feels that in the esophagus, the food is not going down. Sometimes you get a pain in the heart. It feels like you have some kind of heart pain. It's not heartburn, but you feel like something is stuck there. It's not stuck in your throat. You can function like that. It might be uncomfortable, but you can function. Chanakta umtza sounds like, you know, clearly you're only drinking it in order to remove something that's really disturbing you, that's blocking your throat. Here, it's just in the heart, says the Mishnah Berurah. Who I did and shows the mind of the Muslim in Como. You drink water and just to push down the Muslim to the stomach as well. There's no chiyuv bracha if you only drink water, but if you drink some other liquid, there will be a chiyuv bracha because you're nana from the other liquid. But water, unless you drink it with simo, there's no chiyuv bracha. And in fact, I didn't assign it, but the Bir Halacha and the Divrei Maskal HaShosa, the one before, says it's not only if you're drinking it. There's some purpose that you have to the water right now. The fact is, any time that you don't drink the water, the simo, there's no chiyuv bracha. Some of the posting I saw in the bracha star, popular bracha star that published in the last 10-15 years. The posting point that what happens if you finish your meal before a tanis? So let's say you eat a suda maaseh before your kippur or before a tisha b'av, and then a couple minutes later, you just want to take like a couple of drinks of water. It's very common. Right? Some people say that they have to take 7 sips. With 7 sips, it's not a minute that's quoted in the Sfarah, as far as I know. But people take the 7 sips, or they take the 21 sips, I don't know, the 70 sips, maybe depending on where you come from. So the other bracha, you're drinking water. Yeah, the other bracha. The answer many posts have say is no, there's nothing bracha for that because you're not thirsty now. You're drinking the water only to make you hydrated so that you won't become thirsty later. You'll be not thirsty tomorrow. You're not really thirsty now at all. It's shia gasa, if you will. Right? So, poskim say you would not make a bracha on that water. I don't think they would say shia gasa and you shouldn't do it, because for some people it's really necessary. If you don't drink the water now, you will get dehydrated by the next day. But the chia bracha, there might not be.
Difference.
I'm sorry?
It makes a big difference. Yeah.
It does make a difference, but even though it makes a difference, but you're not thirsty now, you drink a bracha. Again, you're not shosa letzimo. You're not shosa to quench your thirst.
Yeah, no.
So most people say you would not make a bracha. That's a chiddush that most people do not know. They think that you do make a bracha.
Yes.
What is the pasuk timalei pi tefillah seh or something like that? Pasuk where you shouldn't have food in your mouth when you're making a bracha. So if you have something in your throat, but like, you know, it's not the throat nefesh, it's not a kibbutz or anything, but it's just there and you're drinking, so that you have this food.
It's not in your mouth, it's in your throat, so there's no problem.
It doesn't say
but the sounds don't have...
The sounds don't come out of your mouth as mindlessly.
They come out of
sounds. They come out of a different pipe.
HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't
come out of an air pipe.
Okay.
I mean, I guess it's just a general question that I've had, is that if you, like, you have something, but it's going to be disgusting if you spit it out, so right. Then maybe should you be selling it on the Rambam and then you have it.
We'll talk about that later, that'll come up later. What happens if you forgot to make the bracha? Is it better to be masala the food with studin, to put it on the side of your mouth to make the bracha, to spit it out? We'll talk about that later in the session.
But the
Rambam
would just say that you become
legal,
right?
Nothing. Okay, let's go on.
I actually have a nice question on this. In my yeshiva, the shliach tzur was davening, and he had a sore throat, and he started coughing really heavily, and he could breathe, but he couldn't stop coughing, and he kept saying, so we brought him some water,
yeah.
And we thought about it a little bit, and we're like, don't make a bracha, just drink. I think there's like a half said bracha issue also. Was that the right thing? Like, he's not thirsty, he just, his throat, it's to get him to stop coughing so he can speak and make a bracha.
Right, and you certainly had to bring him water, but he wasn't particularly thirsty. Would he have drunk the water if he were not in the middle of davening? I don't know. Is that really called thirst? I mean, in that case, he probably could not make a bracha anyway. He couldn't be mafsig.
It could be. You could see that he was parched.
Yeah.
He
was what?
He was
summing. He's not thirsty.
It could be if parched. He thirsty because he has a sort
of. I don't know. It's an interesting shayla. So the yisod of the Gemara that we're developing here is that a person is chayav to make a bracha if he gets hanah, even if he doesn't have kavanah sachila. That's what it sounds like in the Gemara. You only have kavanah shafua, either chanak kayumsa, or you're taking the shem as part of the mixture with the anigram, the shem refua, and there's a chayav bracha, not for the refua, you don't make brachas on refuas. There's a chayav bracha because there's hanah. Objectively, a person is nana even though he doesn't have kavanah sachila. When I saw this Gemara, I was very troubled. Because there's a machlokas harishonim in a different context as to whether a person is chayav to make a bracha if he doesn't have kavanas achila. Which sugya am I referring to? The famous sugya of matemes. Matemes, a person who tastes food. When is there a chayav to make a bracha if someone's toying food, and when is there no chayav? This is a sugya in the second paragraph. Let's all turn to Daf Yud Dalid Amud Aleph. The Gemara says, "Boy minei Ashiyan Tana de Beir Ami Mei Rav Ami Hashari B'Tanis Now Sheyitan." Someone who's in the middle of a tanis, is he allowed to be towing? Achilu Shesiya Kavil Alei V'Haleka Odil Mahano Kavil Alei V'Haika. Did a person only accept upon himself an Isra Achil and Shesiya, not Hano, or did he even accept Hano? Tosus parenthetically points out that clearly you see that this Shaila is only talking about a tanis yachid, because we're discussing whether the person was Makabo to accept upon himself an Isser Hanoh, that he only accepted upon himself an Isser Achilu Shasiya. For a kind of tzibur, it's irrelevant what he was Makabo. Right, so this whole Shaila would exist. But on a kind of tzibur, with a person Makabo, even on that, it would seem as though on a kind of tzibur, the Isser is an Isser Achilu Shasiya, not an Isser Hanoh. So the question is, what was the person Makaba? Amalei, so he answered, Toim Ben Makakwa. He can be Toim, and it's no problem. Tani Nami Hachi, Mat Emes Enatuna Bracha. Someone who tastes food doesn't have to make a bracha. But Hashar Gatan is Toim Ben Makakwa. Someone who is in the middle of a tainus is allowed to be Toim. The Chi of Bracha and the Issa Tainus are put together. Mat Emes Enatuna Bracha, and Hashar Gatan is Toim Ben Makakwa. There's no Issa Tainus, there's no Chi of Bracha. Ad Kama! How much can you be toim in a tainus and there's no problem? How much can you be toim and there's no fear bracha? Rav Ami v'Ravasti tami at shir reviyasa. Rav Ami and Ravasti were toim until a reviyas. Till a reviyas. More than a reviyas, they would make a bracha. If someone more than a reviyas, they wouldn't be toim in a tainus. So the question is, what are we talking about in this scenario? What does te'ima mean? Te'ima means to taste. But what does that mean? So Tosfos over here quotes from Rabbeinu Chananel, Piresh Rabbeinu Chananel, Shechozer Upole. Rabbeinu Chananel explained that we must be told about when you spit it out, we have to be being toim. V'lo choshev hanoa minateim. Aval bole alo, afilu b'shar tainios. But if you swallow, even in shar tainios, where the Yisr is only afilu shesia, right? The shayla in the Gemara, again, shayla is about a tainios, but by other tainios, some of the Yisr is only afilu shesia. Rabbi Hananel says that in Shar Tanyos, if you swallow, of course it would be a problem, because that's achila. The shaila in the Gemara is if you don't swallow. Toi means toi ufole. So for that, the Gemara says, toi ve'im makachlum, it's okay, even by a kind of yachid, a person is only makabel in a Yisrachim, which is Nia, not a Yisrachim. But if a person would swallow, then even on Shar Tanyos, of course it would be awesome. It comes out according to Maskon of the Gemara that Shar Tanyos and Tanyos Yachar are basically the same. Right? It's only an Yisrachim which you see a person who's allowed to be toy. Rabbi Chanalo says that you can only be toy. What does toy mean, Avi? Toy means closer or polite. You got to spit it out. Which is the way most people would think, the Ima. It's not a Tehu, it's the Ima. You simply taste it again, then you spit it out.
But some of the sugars and stuff goes down, presumably, right?
Definitely something is going down.
Something is going down. Not really.
But not
taste is going down.
Taste is going down?
Yeah.
Like something chemically, scientifically, it has to be going down, you say.
You may
have an Rabbeinu Chananel apparently thinks that there will be Hanas Garam, but there's no Hanas Meir. Sorry? Correct. He assumes there is no Hanas Meir. You're saying that there is a tiny amount of Hanas Meir? I guess it's so insignificant that it's not going to be anything.
We had something like that.
Okay, so Tosfos learns that Te'ima means Toim Upolit. Toim Upolit. You're tasting it, but then you're going to spit it out. And that's why, Mishumachi Apolit Eno Tzor Bracha, She'eno Nen. Mishumachi Toim Eno Tzor Bracha, Moshe, Rabbi Chananel says, why is it Toim doesn't have to make a Bracha? She'eno Nen, he's not Nen. Why? He is Nenna. Isn't he Nenna the Brahma? Sounds like he doesn't have a full Nana. He's not Nenna the Nail. It certainly is not Nas Bara. He tasted something. You are tasting it. But you're not eating it. So if you're not eating it, you're not going to have Hanas Nail. So the Hanas Bara is not really significant.
You're saying Nana is not literally in the throat, meaning like palate.
That's what we said. Hanas Bara really means Hanas, not taste. It really means the Hanas palate. Taste.
That's
what the Bara says. Okay? Rabbi Chananel seems to be assuming that there is no Hanas Meir. So when he says that Toing is not Chayav in a Bracha, he means that even though Abadah there is Hanas Dar, you're tasting it. Clearly, that's why you're being Toing, tasting it. So the Hanah of taste you do get. But the Hanah of Meayin, the nutritional benefit, you're not going to get, so therefore there's nothing for Bracha.
So you see from this that the Prophet, that foods only, you only make blessing upon food where you get Hanah.
We get both Hanas Garon and Hanas Med. Yes, this is one of the riyas that the post can bring, that you need both. From Og Gemara Lam and Hail and Days by Shem and Zayas, you get the impression that a Hanas Med without Hanas Garon is not enough, according to Rov Rishon and the side from the Rambam. And from this Gemara, you get the impression that if you have Hanas Garon without Hanas Meayim, that also isn't enough. You need both.
Why? You could also say from this Gemara that all you need is Hanas Meayim, that's it.
Right. From this Gemara, you see that even if you get Hanas Garon, it's not enough. And from argument, from the Gemara of Hanan Bey, it sounds like even if you get Hanas Meir, it's not enough. So putting both of them together, you get the impression that you need both Hanas Garon and Hanas Meir. So just one second. According to Tosfos, how do we understand the sugya? The Gemara says, Matan es enetun abracha, v'ashar v'tayin es toim v'an ka'klo, ad kama, till how much can you be toim, until a shear of what? Revis. So what does Revis do to change the equation? If all you're doing is being toying with Hoser or Polet, so you're still not eating anything. Even if you're toying Revis, you're spitting it out. So what's the difference? What's the difference? Yeah?
After Revis, the accumulates stuff that went down the throat.
I don't know. You could, if you're toying and you're spitting it out,
eating food, tasting food, and chewing gum is not different. So is it small gum? Right. But I mean, why do we make bracha on it? Because we say that you swallow some of the juices.
In the case of food, I think the difference is that it's a good question. In the case of gum, you're swallowing the sugar. But here, what are you doing? You're simply tasting it. It sounds like you're not going to even chew up whatever you put a piece of macaroni into your mouth. You want to see if it's done. What are you going to do? You're just going to taste it for a split second and you're going to spit it out. So what exactly is coming down? The sugar that's going into the system. The Revis is going to put sugar into the system. It's hard to believe the Rebbe is going to put sugar into the system. I don't know. I hear what you're trying to say. It's a little bit orange. I like it. But I'm not sure that the Gemara likes it. I'm not sure that the Rishon
Isn't there something about if you have a smell that you don't know if it's going to smell good or bad, that you're supposed to lock it first? And then if it smells good, only then you go and make a bracha. So maybe in the case of Mita MS, where you don't know if it's fully cooked or not, it could come out of a fryer that you're making a bracha on something that has a real chance of tasting disgusting. So that's why Mita MS might
come. But again, the Gemara says Revius, if you're calling Revius as a chiyuv bracha, what's the difference between me and Revius? No, I should say the Gemara says this. The impression you get from the Gemara is that after Revius, the two halachos in the Gemara change. The impression you get from the Gemara. That doesn't say it for Kedush. This is what there are some Rishonim who don't say that. Okay? But the impression you get from the Gemara is that if you're towing more than a Revius, there's a Chiyuv Bracha and there's an Isser on a Tainus. The question is why? What does Revius do to change everything?
Maybe because the fringe is swallowing, so not the Isser.
Afraid you're swallowing. That's an interesting idea. The only problem is if you don't swallow it, it'll turn out to be a Bracha Shem Tzricha. How can you make a bracha in that case if we're afraid? We're only afraid that you'll swallow it, but if you don't swallow it, it's a bracha shem tzricha. What does the Rush say? Does anyone notice the Rush? What did the Rush say? The Rush said that because of this question, you have to interpret this last line of the Gemara to be talking only about one part of the Sukkah. Yes?
It's all according to the Mashal, no? The person, if you're eating more than you're eating, that means that you're having intention to eat.
No, that's what the Kesset Mishnah says. We'll get to that. Just one second. First of all, the Rush says that it's only going on tanks. The Rush there in Perek Sheni, in Simon Vav, I think it is. The Rush says, "Umi udafka revius avol tfei merevius chashiva hanor leinyan tanks." Umi unira the bracha lo tzara kevin she'enu nena b'sof meyav. Umi unira Moshe, underline it. The bracha lo tzara kevin she'enu nena b'sof meyav. The Rush holds there is a hanas meyav. I don't know, we have to do a scientific test, but that's what the Rush says. Okay? So the Rush says, of course you're not going to make a bracha, even if you eat more than a revius. This line of the Gemara, that revius is the cutoff point. If it's less than a revius, so then X, and if it's more than Y, the halacha changes if it's more than a revius, that's only talking about vis-a-vis tainus. The vis-a-vis tainus, if you're talking more than a revius, so then there's an Isser. But there will be no chiyuv bracha even if you're talking more than a revius. I should point out that the Beis Yosef quotes a very interesting shita. We don't pass in this way, but the Beis Yosef quotes from the Sefer Ol Moed. Strange Sefer, you probably never heard of it. Not very common. The Beis Yosef quotes it here and there. The Sefer Ol Moed has a very interesting shita. He does take the approach of Rabbi Nachman and Tosis that Toi means chozer upolek, and he's bothered with the distinction that the Gemara draws between Pachos Mervius and Yoser Mervius. So what does he answer? Says the Beis Yosef in Source 9, it was Sefer Ol Moed Kosev, Matemes in a Tricha Bracha, Afilu Lufanel, Elen Ken Hayasham Kashir Revius, Avil Bezeh Ashir Mivarechas. Why do you make a bracha on a Shir Revius? Notice, why do you make a bracha? The Sefer Ol Moed claims that on more than a revius, you leave make a bracha. Afal pi she'ena bolas klum, ho'el v'hachech to'en. The Sefer Ol Moed says that since there is hanas goron, you'll make a bracha on hanas goron levat. That's quite a thing. Sefer Ol Moed is going against everything we've been saying. Tell me. Now we seem to assume that only with both hanas goron and hanas may have been the idea of bracha. You see from the Sefer Ol Moed that the Beis Yosef quotes that with Hanas Goron alone you can make a bracha. That's why he says if there's more than a revius, that's enough Hanas Goron that you'll be chayav to make a bracha. Says the Beis Yosef, Ali Nira, the bracha lo b'ti imas chayach talia. Because if you don't have a shear, just the mitzios is not enough of a hanah.
I mean, apparently eating a crumb is you're getting the same Hanas Goron and Hanas. Yeah, so that's
me tense. Well, apparently he's saying that it's not the same. It's not the same. When you know, we asked before, does Hanas Goron mean Hanas Chech, or does it mean Goron? So maybe the pshat is it's like, it's the taste, not simply the taste on your tongue. but it's the taste in the mouth. So certainly if you swallow, that's a lot of hanah. That's in the gor on the chayich. But if you're not swallowing, the fact that the chayich is nena a little bit, that's not enough unless it's a real hanah, unless it's a significant hanah. So that's apparently what he's saying. If you are towing revius, so the hanah that you have in your chayich is enough, even though the gor really is not being nena because you're not swallowing. You haven't gotten the gor yet.
Rabbi Yosef and also said many other Rishonim take issue with his Talmud's argument that Hanat Garam alone is not enough to be Mechayev Bracha. Why do we make a Bracha? Why do some people make a Bracha on gum? Because as far as I know, the nutritional value is negligible.
But again, you are swallowing the sugar. So swallowing the sugar, there will be a Hanat Garam, a full Hanat Garam, because the Chaych and the Garam will be involved in the Hanat. Okay? So there will be the hanah there, plus the hanah. Yes, because you're spitting out. That's what I'm suggesting. And maybe when we say hanah's garon, I said hanah's garon really means hanah's chayich, but it's really a combination. It's a hanah in the throat, in the deeper recesses of the throat. Right? In the throat, in the palate. But if you only have hanah's chayich, maybe it's not enough unless you have a sheer revis. Okay, a shear revius is a more significant amount, so therefore the hanah sefer will be sufficient. But the Beis Yosef disagrees with it anyway. Beis Yosef says, "Velinir the bracha lo b'te'imas chayv talya." Bracha lo b'te'imas chayv talya ela ba'achila talya k'dosev yachalta uveirachta. The same, the old pasuk that happens to be the pasuk by Birchas Hamazon, but we use it for bracha shana too. Va'achila haynu hanoas me'ayin, as the Beis Yosef says, k'divrei harosh. I don't think he means hanoas me'ayin to the exclusion of hanoas garan. I think he means to the inclusion. You need both of them. You need Hanas Mayav plus Hanas Garam Moshe. Okay? So this is a collector's item. If someone asks you, is there a Chiyah Bracha if you only have Hanas Garam, you can say, well, I think there's a Sefer Ol Moed, and they say, maybe there is a Chiyah Bracha. But most Mishonim disagree. Most Mishonim assume that you need both. That's what the Reis Yosef concludes, that the Rosh holds that the Hanas that we're talking about in the Chayah for Bracha Rishona is Hanas Mayayim. Without Hanas Mayayim, even if you have Hanas Chech, Hanas Doron, that's not going to be enough.
But it just makes a combination of both.
Right. So there are two ways that you can interpret our sugya that's mechalik between less than a revius and more than a revius. If you hold that Tomei means Chozer Upolik. Again, if you take Rabbi Chananel and Tosin's approach, that Tomei means Chozer Upolik, the distinction between less than a revius and more than a revius can either be interpreted as limited to Tainus. Limited to times, that regarding bracha, even for more than a revius, there's not a bracha because there is no hanah. There's no hanah's meyayim, even though there's hanah's gone, there won't be a bracha. That's what the Rosh says. The Ol Moed says no. There will be even a chiyah bracha on more than a revius because there's more hanah's gone. The hanah of the chayich is more significant if you're towing revius, and then there will be a chiyah bracha for the hanah's garon exclusively, even if there is no hanah's there. But both of these approaches are assuming what? That towing means chozer upolik, that you're tasting, but you're spitting out afterwards.
Rabbi Yosef says that towing is either swallowed, because his interpretation of revius is that it's dependent on achila.
No, you wouldn't make a bracha unless you swallow. Which is what prompts the Rosh to say that which the Gemara claims that with more than revius that the halacha changes, that only means the halacha regarding what changes with more than revius. Yitzi. The halacha regarding what changes? Tainus changes.
So
regarding tainus, which is a very interesting halacha. Think of it. Even though you were makabel, according to Maspan of the Gemara, tainus is being makabel in Isra Achilu Shasiya, not halacha. Tainus is an Isra Achilu Shasiya. Nevertheless, apparently, for more than a revius, there is an issur. It's a strange idea. You're still not eating, so why should there be an issur tainus? You hear this story? It's a little strange. The Rosh says, apparently, more than a revius is more of a hanah, and therefore on tainus is going to be awesome. Strange, but you're still not eating. So if you're not eating, why should there be an issur? It's still difficult. Difficult. The impression you got from the shayla of the Gemara, right? The whole shayla of the Gemara there is whether you are makabel only achilu shasiya, presumably te'ima is not achilu shasiya, or you are makabel hanah, and te'ima is called hanah. So then the Gemara concludes, shari b'tainus is toim ve'ein b'kach klum. So it sounds like the conclusion of the Gemara is that you weren't mekabel hano, you were only mekabel achila ushasiyah. And yet, for more than a revius, the Gemara says that there's an isertainus. So why should there be an isertainus if there's no achila ushasiyah? It's difficult. It's very difficult. I'm not sure what the answer to that question is. But the Rush clearly concludes that there's no chiyuv bracha. Because it's not achila. It's certainly not achila. On tainus, it must be that on tainus, the iser is an iser. It's an iser hana, but you need a significant hana. That's what the conclusion of the Gemara must be. That there's an iser hana, really, on a tainus. It's not a dafka achila shesira. It's an iser hana, but a hana of te'ima, that's not a significant hana. But if you taste a lot, if you taste more than a revius, that's a significant hana, therefore it's going to be usher on a tainus. That's what you have to say. It's not achila shesira moshe. It's really an iser hana, and if you have more than a revius, even if you're closer to pole, if you're getting enough hana, that it will be usher on a tainus. But this is all according to Tosas, who assumed that te'ima is closer to pole. Who disagrees, or who seems to disagree, perhaps? The Rambam. The Rambam, in the beginning of Hilchos Brachos, Rambam does not describe Matemes as talking about Chozer Polish. Rambam says, that's the end of the Rambam that we mentioned on the first day of Shir. Matemes ain't a tricha bracha, lolo fane, vololi acharea, adrivius. Period. He just says a person who's tasting. He doesn't distinguish whether he's Chozer or Polish or not. So what does he mean? Maybe he also means matemes is chozer polet. Yuri. Maybe matemes going around also means chozer polet. Some of the Achronim want to say that. The Magen Avraham and Shulchan Aruch says there's no machlokes. The Rambam also holds matemes means chozer polet. In fact, the Rambam in Hilchos Kindness, when he talks about polet the kindness, what does he say? What does the Rambam say by kindness? The Rambam says specifically that the heter of te'ima on kindness is only towing a polling, which led some of the Mefarshim to assume that in Brachos he also meant the same thing. It's a little bit difficult. Because Hilchos Kindness comes after Hilchos Brachos. This is in Ava, that's in Zmanin. So if he meant that towing means across the board that it's closer to polling, he should have said it the first time he mentioned Matanis. The fact that he didn't seems to indicate that maybe there's some kind of distinction. That when it comes to tainus, te'ima's mutter only if you're chozer polet. When it comes to bracha, even if you swallow, te'ima might still not require a bracha until a shir reveals. This is how the Kesef Mishnah understood the Rambam. That even though the Rambam defines Magemus when it comes to Ilma's tainus as saying towing the polet, Moshe, but by bracha he doesn't understand that it is towing the polet. Even if you're boleya, listen up. The Rambam holds, according to the Kesef Mishnah, that even if you're boleya, even if you swallow, if your kavana is to be towing, there's no chiyuv bracha until revius, till the shir revius. There's no chiyuv bracha. Even if you swallow what you're towing, tremendous chiddush. You're swallowing what you're towing. It doesn't matter until the shir revius. There's no chiyuv bracha. This is how the Kesef Mishnah understood the stimus loshan harambam in Hilchos Brachos. The fact that the Rambam didn't carefully tell us, didn't define matemes as being chozer upoli. When it comes to tainus, of course, it's usur to be towing if you're not poli. But the Rambam here says that regarding the chiyuv bracha, there is no chiyuv bracha, even if a person is boleh until he eats a revius. The question is why? You ate the revius. So what? So what that you only wanted to be talking, but you swallow. There's hanas karam, there's hanas bayayin, there's everything. So why shouldn't you have to make a bracha? So to that, the Kesef Mishnah says he thinks maybe the pshat is like this. Ulagabi bracha kan sosam devar. The Rambam was sosin his devarim. He didn't specify nira shafilu balei anami enetiyach a bracha. Maybe even if you swallow, the efshar lo say smach ladavas in the Kesef Mishnah. The time of Mishnah of Sivya Chalta Uberachta, we know that the Chiyuv Bracha is because Vya Chalta Vesavata Uberachta, you know that's Vya Chasam Mazon, but we apply it to Bracha Rishona as well. We saw Rashi already apply it to Bracha Rishona, Daf Lamed Hei Yamed Beis. Says the Kesef Mishnah, Vya Chalta Uberachta tells me, She Yehei Lo Kavona Sachila Mashiach. It sounds like you not only have to eat, but you have to have Kavona Sachila. The Rambam understood that you have to have kavanas achila. Doesn't say the pasuk kavanas achila, but the Rambam understood the achala means kavanas achila. Urevias, ava bishin matenas kavanas achila yeshma. If you swallow a revias, even though you really want to be towing, but you can't call that kavanas achila. Come on, you'd be towing too much. Objectively, there's a kavanas achila. You can't deny that there's kavanas achila. Why are you tasting so much? If all you want to do is taste it, so why are you taking so much? It must be even though you're not admitting it, you really have a kavanas achila. So the Rambam distinguishes that more than a revias requires a bracha. Why? Because he understood that toyin is referring to swallowing. Matemis means that you're tasting and you're swallowing. So if you're swallowing, claims the Rambam, with more than a revias, there objectively is kavanas achila. So then there's a chiyuv bracha. Less than a revias, since you're only tasting it, there's no kavanas achila. So that's why there's no chiyuv bracha. Okay, so there's a machlokes, the Tosfos and the Rosh against the Rambam as to what Matemis is talking about. What's the case? What's the definition of the case in the Gemara? Is this talking about choser upolet, or is this talking about bolea, that you're swallowing? Tosfos and the Rosh are very distressed. Tosfos and the Rosh are distressed with the distinction between less than a revias and more than a revias, because they understood that toyin is choser upolet. So if you're choser upolet, what should it matter if you're toyin a revias or less than a revias? It should all be the same. The Rambam understands, no. The Rambam says that vis-a-vis bracha, there's a distinction between more than a revias, less than a revias, even if you're bolea. Because if you're bolea less than a revias, there's no kavanas achila. The way the Kesef Mishnah understood the Rambam, there's no kavanas achila. There's only a kavanas tehila. So there's no fear of bracha. If you're bolea more than a revias, since that objectively, it has a kavanas achila associated with it, so then there's going to be a fear of bracha. Tshuva, in the middle of a long tshuva, he gives an answer to this Rambam that totally reinterprets the sugya. According to the Rambam, you have to reinterpret the sugya. There's no other way. We're trying to figure out what the pshat in the Gemara is. Kevan de islay hanam inay boi bruchim. Does that Gemara tell me that even if you have kavanas achila, there's no kavanas achila, no kavanas achila, you still are chayav mina bracha to the objective hanah that you receive? Or is the Gemara telling me something different? According to the Rambam, the Gemara has to be telling you something different. Because if not, it's a stira from the Rambam that we're telling. Matemes, even if you're bolea, according to the Rambam, if you eat less than a revias, there's no chiyah bracha. because there's no kavanah sachila. So why does the Gemara say that without a kavanah sachila, there is a chiv if you're getting hana? Tolim is also getting hana if he's bolea. And yet, if he doesn't have a kavanah sachila, there's no chiv bracha according to the Rambam. So the Rambam is going to have to reinterpret the sugya. Look at the Minchas Shlomo, look at some of the other makaros, and then tomorrow we'll talk about the issue of on which refuos do you make a bracha and which refuos do you not make a bracha. What kind of hana do you need? What kind of item does it have to be to get a bracha? And we'll conclude the sugya tomorrow.